an unspoiled network podcast.
This is Unscrupled, covering Angel and the crazy shit that happens in LA, but nowhere else in the world. Season 4, episodes 11 and 12. What are they called again?
I think it's seasons, season 4, episodes 9 and 10.
9 and 10?
And they are called
Long Day's Journey and Awakening. Okay. Sorry, y'all. We've been doing this a long time. There's a lot of episodes. In these episodes, people forget shit, including me. Mm-hmm. And some things didn't happen. And that's really as cryptic as I can get without having spoilers. Welcome to Unscrupled! Howdy there, bitches.
What up, money?
So, we watched some Angel, and this apocalypse thing just doesn't want to, end.
Nope. It's the longest running apocalypse we've seen to date.
Yep. So, yeah, there's been, we have gone through 4 episodes on one arc, which is really incredible.
Yeah.
Gwen is back briefly. She vanishes without a trace between episodes, but that's probably a good thing.
I think she actually did go to Tahiti, which, God love her, she's the smartest one in this whole goddamn universe.
Yeah, y'all need to just fuck off. Why are you still here?
Yeah, we would have bailed and gone to Portland.
At the very least, Fred and Gunn need to bail. And it's not because I want them to survive, because it's not. It's that, neither of them are really... I feel like both of them are there is nothing we can do about this. We should leave.
Yeah. They should go someplace else and start a new life together.
Lorne needs to.
Yeah, Lorne should have left 5 times by now.
Yeah.
And not to Vegas.
I feel like Connor should leave too. He's whatever's happening, it's not good, and maybe I shouldn't be around it.
But okay, so to Connor, this is a Thursday. He grew up in a hell dimension.
I know. If he grew up in a hell dimension, he would know, lots of danger, can't do anything about it, must go some other place.
But I feel like in the hell dimension, he probably would always face the danger, so he just doesn't know how to... He doesn't have any quit in him.
I don't know. It's just... Everyone's still here. I don't know that... It doesn't show people vacating Los Angeles. Also, this doesn't show up on the news in Sunnydale.
Well, we're so... Well, okay, so we don't know if it shows up on the news in Sunnydale, because that would happen in the next episode. But,
There was a rain of fire, 2 episodes ago.
Okay, that's fair. But, to be fair to the Angelinos who are not vacating the city, this isn't that weird.
I'm sorry. I would understand in New York because no one has a car and everyone's I don't want to go to fucking Penn Station and get on the NJ Transit. Ugh. But this is Los Angeles.
I'll just die here.
Everyone has a car. Everyone fucks off all the time because Los Angeles is fuck offable.
Yeah, but okay, so back in 92, they said... parts of the city on fire, and it was fine. People didn't leave. Back in 94, the hills were burning all around, and ash was raining down from the sky, and nobody fucking left. This is what Los Angeles does. We're just something's going on. Is there anything we can sell people and take advantage of this? That's all we got.
Yeah. So... Yeah. This revolves around our demon, who we still don't have a name for. I'm sorry, guys. I don't think we're ever going to be seeing... What's his name?
The Beast?
Slim? No, Slim. The one with the... The one that... He had the guy in the box, and Angel beat him up.
There's been a lot of guys in a lot of boxes.
He was guarding the prisoner, and he's...
Skip!
Skip! It's clearly, they just replaced the scales on Skip's costume and took the chin ring out.
I can't, see.
And don't get me wrong, it's a good costume, but it leads me to believe we are never going to see Skip again, which I am sad about, because I like me some Skip.
Skip was fucking fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so this demon has a goal of blotting out the sun. And this... So I've got a lot of complaints with these episodes, but I'm also kind of into them. And I don't know which way it shakes out, because I was watching these episodes and I'm like, yes, yes, good, exciting stuff. But then there's a few things that really drove me insane. Like, the editing was really bad. Remember we watched that Lindsay Ellis video on the Transformers and why you can never fucking remember shit? Like, I had to rewind several times and I realized that's what's going on. Is like, my eye is doing way too much work and I keep having to move across the screen to see what the fuck is happening. So it's really bad for memory retention of what is going on.
Yeah. That's incredibly fair, because I've seen these episodes several times now, and the first one, yeah, it's always been hard to remember that one.
Right, and there's tropes that, like, both Cordy and Angel have convenient for the plot memory loss.
Yeah, Angel with his photographic memory, that's perfect.
Yeah.
So I have a fan theory about that perfect memory, and I think that the gypsies did it to him. Sorry for using that word. The Roma folks did it to him when they cast their curse on him so that he would be able to remember and dwell on all of his misdeeds and have all that guilt and brooding about it.
So they gave him a retroactive photograph of him.
That's what I like to think, because I've never heard any other vampire say, duh, photographic memory.
Yeah, Spike forgot that he was supposed to be interesting.
Yeah. Whoa.
Sorry.
Shade. Oh, the shade of it all. Wow. Okay. Moving forward.
I want to bring up, like, I'm still mad about that scene with Harmony.
Okay.
Like, there's Drusilla, there's Spike, and there's Harmony, right? One of them tried to kill, just tried to kill your sister. One of them is your boyfriend, and one of them killed a fucking slayer. And yet it's the boyfriend she goes after. Like, I'm still mad about that. Like, people forget shit in this show.
Yes. Totes my goats. Anyway. So this episode opens up with Angel pouting like a little boy because his girlfriend got stolen by his son.
I don't understand the pouty men thing. At least Walter White did things. He pouted a lot, but he did things.
Yeah, Angel is real good at not doing things, but he is trying to research stuff, but he's researching alone. Meanwhile, the gang's all downstairs researching together.
Yeah.
You know, cross-referencing shit, asking questions.
And here, like, the research part of this I'm kind of into, because they're like, we've got nothing on this. There's been rumblings, like with Glory, there's just no information, so you have to trial and error, but eventually they turn something up, and so I kind of like that they are actually finding nothing on the demon.
Yeah, there's nothing to be had. No good is coming of this, and it's pretty frustrating for everyone. Meanwhile, Cordelia is still shacking up with Connor like some kind of weirdo. There are 1,000 rooms in that hotel. They could totally be sleeping there.
I don't understand. Like, why we're supposed to be interested in this stupid fucking love triangle. And I'm legitimately mad at the show. Because Cordy is such a really good character. And this season, she's just been...
different.
Sidelined. And she hasn't, like, I don't want to say different, but, like, they made a point last season of showing her training. And yet we have yet to see her use her training.
Okay, that's fair. Can you think of any reasons why that might be true?
What do you mean?
Like,
why she's not in any fighting situations? Yeah. I don't know. Like, okay. She keeps being, like, even more so than Fred, she's being pushed away from dangerous situations.
Okay.
And it's, like, she doesn't seem to have any comment on it. the whole losing your memory thing. She has, she remembers everything now, right?
Yeah.
So she's made no effort to go say hi to Phantom Dennis.
Yeah. Yeah. She's, it seems like there's a lot going on right now, though. But still, the Cordy I know would totally go and say hi to Phantom Dennis.
The Cordy I know would run over vampires. The Cordy I know would run over Angel.
That's fair. And yeah, it's just weird that she's like hanging out with this teenager and that's like interesting to her. Except that she's starting to show some signs of that being not super fulfilling, which, you know.
Okay. She was never fulfilled by him. Like, the whole sex thing was I don't want you to die a virgin, and also I haven't gotten any in a while. And you maintain that she's had relationships, but I'm like, no, unless Phantom Dennis was giving her an assist, her first and only sexual partner was Xander. So...
I maintain no. But, okay, so that's what's going on with them in their little not-love nest. Meanwhile, we get to see Gwen again, as you mentioned.
I do like Gwen.
Yeah. What happens with Gwen?
So, it opens with her and this black dude who says, "Do you know who I am?" I have a problem with this.
Mm.
You're some kind of ancient being.
Mm.
You know how the human world works. You also know it's probably not in your interest for very many people to know who you are.
Mm.
So you don't get to be indigent.
Indignant.
That someone...
Indignant.
Indignant, sorry. You don't get to be an asshole because someone doesn't know who you are. You know why? Because nobody knows who you are. That's how you like it. That's how you stay alive.
Well, not really, considering that was the last thing he said, pretty much. I mean, yeah. They start to talk about the thing that he's asking her to do for him. And she's like, "So, cool story, bro. That was a great job. And I totally would take it normally. But I'm going to Tahiti because shit is real right now. And yeah. I'm not down." And he's like, "But yeah, I still need this thing done. How could you leave?" And then he dies suddenly in front of us with a fist through his chest, which, you know, if you've got to go, that seems like it'd be quick.
Yep. And there's some glowy stuff. And Gwen decides not to pick this fight, which is probably a very smart move on her part. And also, she's a rogue, not a barbarian. So... just because she has powers doesn't mean that she's still got the constitution and the Thaco to take this dude. So
That's fair. Yeah. So
do you know what Thaco is?
I do not know what Thaco is.
Thaco is 2-hit armor class 0. So in Dungeons and Dragons, when you put on armor, you have to roll like your armor class starts at like 8, and you put shit on and it goes down, and then you have a Thaco roll, which is to hit armor class 0, you have to hit this number, and then you subtract what their armor class is currently, and then you have, did you make a hit? Then you can do damage. It's like the opposite of Final Fantasy, where you put on armor, and it just, like, you still get hit, it just doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah.
Whereas in Dungeons & Dragons, a little more realistic, it's like, you get hit, but it doesn't fucking do anything, because you got armor on.
Right. Okay, I get it. But so, if you get hit real hard, it is going to do something because, you know, you're still getting hit.
So.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Thaco. So.
And also, if I mispronounce Thaco, do not at me. You know why? I don't care.
That's fair. So the beast punches through this dude, pulls something metal out of the chest, and disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And Gwen beats feet out there because she's not stupid.
And this reminds me of a scene in the Sandman.
Yeah.
It's towards the end when I forget her name, but the blonde woman is meeting with the black across the hall neighbor, or maybe it was her roommate. And her roommate's like, "Do you believe in magic?" And she's like, "No." "Do I believe in weird shit? Yeah, I've seen a lot of fucked up shit." I kind of feel like that's the page that Gwen is on right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know Gwen went to a school for superheroes, but this is some fucked up shit she was not prepared for. So
that's fair. Yeah, just being Electro Girl does not mean you're prepared to see, you know, an Egyptian deity be punched to death in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, back at the hotel, no one's making any kind of progress with this research shit. And so when Gwen shows up, they start figuring, okay, let's look at his victims.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there seems to be a trend here. Let's look at the victims. And from there, they discover that the beings that the Beast is taking out are connected. And they have an all-girl band called the Ra-Tet. Okay, it's not an all-girl band. Don't look at me like that. But, I mean, I only get so many opportunities to say that.
Yeah. What I was most interested in is that the destruction of Wolfram and Hart was just, like, they were in the way.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like, as much as I like Wolfram and Hart, and as much as I want to know more about what they do and why, I kind of like that they're just not important enough.
And right.
It's like, you just lost your entire LA office because you happened to employ someone that this guy wanted to talk to. So.
Well, wanted to pull the light out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's see. What else happens?
We get an offhand mention that there was also a very sweet woman who got killed off screen,
okay.
Which is Ra-Tet number 3.
Let's see, because there's 5 of them. So there's
little girl,
African dude.
Woman off screen. The mess that they find later.
That was a tiger.
That was a tiger?
Yeah, the mess that they found, that used to be a tiger.
Was that the 4th one?
Yeah. And then the 5th one is human dude.
Yeah. The 5th one is the jackass in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, he didn't seem so much a jackass as, I don't know, maybe he just reminds
me
of my
uncle.
He was,
like, really low-key, he was really high-key horny in a very unpleasant way.
That's fair. But he just wants porn. He's not, like, harassing the women. He's just like, could I consume some porn, please?
Like, there is enough of this world where white, straight male dick is the center of attention. And
fair. And we just don't need to hear any more about it.
Exactly.
Thanks.
So, nobody asks, dude. It's... yeah. So, they figure out that they're going after the victims of the Ra-Tet, or the demon is... So, they decide to meet with... the next one, which is in Death Valley, and that's Gwen and Angel make a trip. Does Cordy go with them? I don't think so. I think it's just Gwen and Angel.
Whatever happens, they go pick him up and they...
They find the tiger with its torn apart.
Yeah.
And all that's left is this one dude who just very happily, conveniently was going to visit his friend.
Yeah, we don't have the budget to go to wherever, to Cleveland or wherever the fuck this guy lives. He's just in LA. Just deal with it.
Also, like, if your brothers are being hunted, the last thing you want to do is team up.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. So, is it at this point that we figure out that the plan is to blot out the sun?
I think so. Might be. I'm not entirely sure, because... This is another thing where I don't know if blotting out the sun was just, like, I don't know if we're going to get any real motivation, because I'm kind of hoping we don't, because it's more interesting if I don't know what this dude's actual goal is.
Okay.
Because then they'll just ruin it. Because I kind of liked the mayor until he turned into a giant snake, and I'm like, why? Like,
yeah, why is that interesting?
Giant snake we've had to deal with. So.
There are a lot of giant snakes. And giant has become a relative term at this point.
Wouldn't you be bored if you were playing a video game and a boss turned out to be another version of a mini boss you'd killed several times already?
I'm always bored when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that does fucking happen.
And to be honest, I don't trust this show to have a good reason for this. So don't give us one and you've done better.
Okay. I'm just gonna move right on, because there ain't shit I can say. Gwen hooks them up with a sweet hiding spot for this dude, and they all go and lock him in a protected vault-like room, and then they camp out around it and, you know, set watches, four-hour watches,
he's got a panic room
to protect him. And, yeah, should be hunky-dory. We've got, like, things set up. No one knows where we are. It seems pretty legit.
There's a lot of stink eye still between Cordy and Angel, which I'm kind of not here for.
Cordy does take Angel aside and say, can you fucking get over yourself for just, like, a minute and be our leader again? Because I haven't got time for your shitty middle school bullshit.
No one... It's... White male drama queens are a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, pretty much.
A waste of my time, a waste of Joss Whedon's time, except that's who he is, but still.
Yeah, but so at this point, I finally figure out why Gwen is even in this episode. And it's to provide Angel with someone to flirt with to make Cordy jealous.
Okay.
Because you could have this entire episode without Gwen and it wouldn't
matter. I noticed that. There was really no reason for Gwen to be here. So the whole time I'm like, is this where the spinoff comes? No. Is she going to join the alternate Scooby Gang? No.
Nope. She was just there to hit on Angel in front of Cordy so that Cordy would... I don't know. Because jealousy's the same as love, guys.
So how do you feel about Gwen splurging on such a massive apartment?
I feel fine. She's probably sold the Axis of Pythia for like...
It was worth $33 million, remember?
So she probably got at least 20, and if she wants to pimp her crib with that money, good for her. She works hard, she deserves it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how I feel about it, because it seems kind of out of character, but at the same time, it's like... She's a thief. She's probably had to blow town several times. She's probably got a go bag. If you have that kind of money, even though this is very much a temporary situation because you're going to have to blow town again, why the fuck not? You know?
Yeah. I mean, and she's hidden it pretty well. I mean, I wouldn't walk into that building for all kinds of money.
Yeah.
Like, that was... That's a, by God, shitty building.
Yeah, it was pretty swanky. They should make that their new hideout.
No, I love the hotel. It's so Art Deco. And it's got that big space in the lobby for them all to brood in. I know. So anyway, we get to the point where it's Angel's time to be on guard duty. And the next scene is him being woken up. And look inside the little panic room, and there's just pieces of
food. It's just, yeah, he's been splattered.
Yeah.
I just, this, like, again, the editing was so confusing, I didn't even remember to care that this guy had been killed, and supposedly the demon had gotten by them.
Yeah. So what apparently happened is that someone drugged all of their drinks.
Uh-huh.
And Cordy points out that it has to be an inside job because there's no way someone could have set up ahead of time that they were going to be there and, you know, that they were going to make all of their own drinks and knock them out that way. So Cordy's like casting some side eye at Gwen, who she already doesn't like because Gwen's flirting with Angel, and everybody's casting some side eye at just in general, because no one knows who the bad guy is, but
right.
Gwen is new, and, like, mad side-eye is happening all over the place, and they're like, wait, where's Connor right now?
Now that I think about it, I kind of feel like Gwen is the culprit, because we see her, like, do that thing at the beginning when poor African guy gets his bright light taken out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember seeing her flee.
No, we don't get to see her flee. She just...
She takes off her glove and decides not to fight. And the next time we see her, she's showing up at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It would, like, knowing who Gwen is and what a mercenary she is, like, I could totally see her cutting a deal with him.
Like, don't kill me right now.
I don't even think it would have to be that. I don't even think it would have to be, like, under duress like that. It's just like, I need money. You seem like you have a goal in mind. Is there some way we can help?
Yeah. Like, let's just work together and BT dubs don't kill me.
Because he doesn't kill indiscriminately.
No, he doesn't. He only kills with purpose.
Yeah. He doesn't seem particularly interested in her or care about her, but if she can offer him something,
yeah,
maybe he can offer her something. So
maybe he can. So yeah, let's see. Anyway,
this is where they come up with the plan to try the portal.
Yes, this is about this time when they're like, well, okay, so we can't kill this son of a bitch. And he seems to be one step ahead of us all the time. So what can we do? It's like, what if he just wasn't here?
Yeah, that's kind of what I like about these episodes is the way they're going through the problem solving. It's every other time it's been, there's a problem. We need to kill it. How do we kill it? Let's look in the books until we find a way to kill it. Or let's ask someone until we find someone who knows how to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
It's never approached from a, we have to make this thing stop. How can we make this thing stop? There might not be only one way to make this thing stop. You know, here is them experimenting and trying new things and saying, the goal is not defeating this demon. The goal is making the demon not do the thing. So,
right.
Am I making sense?
Yes. So they come up with the idea of, let's just open a portal wherever he's at. We'll pin him down. We'll as much as you can pin him down. I don't mean like physically, just like get him into one area. And
yeah, I like the conversation, like guns don't work, swords don't work. And they're like, but they do distract him.
Yeah. So I tell you what, we're just going to have y'all distract him while Fred and Wesley chant some shit, open up a portal, mm-hmm. and shove him in it, and then he can't do all of this crap anymore.
And that portal happens to, like, he happens to have chosen Connor's place for his ritual.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of at this point, I'm like, I don't think Connor has anything to do with it. Because they said the alleyway behind Karatas is, like, Karatas is basically, it's like a hell mouth with a hymen, I guess.
Yeah. Karatas is a hot spot.
Yeah. Right?
You get way better Wi-Fi there.
So it would not surprise me if the demon is like, I'm going to fuck with them and make them think, like, I'm going to find this kid.
Yeah.
And do it there.
Yeah.
Just so that they, like, because these... It's like that part in, what's that book? The Bob's book.
Oh, the when Bob it says, Uppers, yeah.
You are no longer food, you are now a pest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those are some fun books, guys.
Go ahead. Y'all should read those books. Like, I'm kind of wondering if we should commission Natasha to cover them.
Oh my god, Natasha would love them.
Yeah.
The first book is called We Are Legion, We Are Bob. Check it out, guys.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. But yeah, so the Beast shows up at Connor's shitty pad. And Connor answers the door thinking it's like, you know, his friends or pizza or Cordy or something. And the Beast is just like, hey, have you heard the good news about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Except he didn't do that at all.
Yeah,
he just
hit him.
But, but that would have been great. So... yeah, the Connor and the Beast have a little fight. The Beast chucks him out a window just as Angel and friends show up. And they all run up thinking that they're going to confront this Beast and shove him into a portal. Little do they know that he's already, you know, midway through casting the sun block spell.
Yeah.
And they do succeed in portaling him away, but it works for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, he just portals right back. He's like, you're annoying.
Yeah.
And then he has a conversation with Angel.
Oh, yeah. What does he tell Angel?
He says, we don't have to be enemies. Is that his words?
Yeah, he said something about not having to be enemies. And
we can work together on this.
Angelus.
Angelus.
Oh, Angelus.
So, this is where Cordy has her... she suddenly remembers that she remembers Angel, Angelus, like, looking at this dude and maybe cutting a deal. But neither of them remember whether he cut the deal.
Yeah, they remember that they talked, but that's all they got. And it's like, bitches,
But from what I know of Angelus, this isn't his style.
Yeah, he does not like authority figures.
He's like That's why he worked so well with Spike, because they were both chaos demons.
Yeah.
And they thrive on chaos. Grand master plans are only as fun as how much you can fuck them up.
Right. And so both Angel and Angelus have one very important character trait in common, and it's daddy issues.
Mm-hmm.
Angel doesn't want to be, like, they just don't want to be told what to do. So, we'll see what happens, because I can't even remember what they decided. It was many, many years ago. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So that's the end of our first episode, and our second episode revolves around trying to... The first part of it revolves around trying to resurrect Angelus. The second part revolves around trying to get a sword.
Well, okay. The entire thing revolves around trying to resurrect Angelus.
Well, yeah, but spoilers.
They've seen it. They're listening to us talk about it.
Owen doesn't.
Owen, honey, if you didn't watch the episodes before listening to the podcast, I'm gonna have to veto your engagement to Natasha. Sorry, bro.
He just likes us. He doesn't like Buffy.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Can you unveto that?
Okay, fine. You're unvetoed. You can marry the love of your life. Fuck.
Jesus.
You're making these rules so porous.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Okay, so there's some discussion, and there's like, no, you don't know how bad Angelus is. And I'm going to keep calling him Angelus, because I do not respect him.
Okay, whatevs.
And there... I just, like, guys, we know. He sucked.
Yeah.
And we don't even need Cordy having Angel's memories to know that, because she was there when it happened.
He killed her teacher.
That was probably kind of a bro move.
Well, yeah, she doesn't look like she was super into computer science.
Yeah.
But... she can functionally use a computer, and do you think Will will bother to teach her that?
I don't
think so. I think that was Mrs. Callender. Mm-hmm. Ms. Callender, sorry. Anyway, point being, yeah, Cordy has met Angelus and knows what a fucking sociopath he is, and that, like, you really do not want him in your life. You think he's just a vampire, but he is not my friend.
Wesley knows this.
But
as
Wesley,
well.
Wesley because... doesn't know it firsthand.
No, but he knows it. Like, so why are we having this conversation?
He read the books. It's different. It's just fucking different, yo. Anyway, so Wesley has the bright idea of hiring a demon shaman to come and extract Angel's soul with the idea that he's a guy that can put it back. And that is something Wesley stresses. It's like, yes, we're going to take your soul out. We're going to keep it in this jar. We can put it right back, see how it fits very nicely, and we're going to dust it. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And Angel's just like,
I'm kind of into this plan, too.
So. Oh, yeah. No, it's a good fucking plan. Like, when it comes down to we have no leads and there might be something inside your psycho head that has a lead, we've got to pursue it. This is all there is. So I'm making it happen because I'm a boss bitch like that.
And if something goes wrong, you can just stake him.
Yeah. And everybody wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Angel is, okay, justifiably afraid of them taking his soul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame him for being pretty iffy about this plan and just not wanting to do it in general. However, something changes his mind.
What changes his mind? I forget.
I think it's the idea that everybody's going to suffer if he doesn't.
Huh.
That there's, like, legit nothing else.
Yeah. They need some intel on this, and they have no idea what he's after, and I hope they never find out. So, yeah, they invite this guy in, and they build a cage. I feel like at this point they should have a cage.
Yeah, why don't they just...
Why is this the first time that this has come up?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, they build a cage and strap Angel down... and lock the dude in the cage with a couple different locks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dude tries to kill him. Now, you knowing the answer to what happens later in this, did you suspect?
No.
Good. Good.
I was annoyed. Like, I was annoyed with the other half of this episode. I kind of checked out the second that happened.
Well, only a little bit. Like, that's the very end of the episode.
No. Oh. I mean, the second he tried to kill him.
Oh, okay.
Because at that point, like, things just kind of went downhill.
Yeah, because... And it was supposed to be really crazy and out of character because so it's all an angel fantasy.
It worked on me, but...
It worked on me the first time, too. I was like, the fuck? I was getting mad at this episode for being too easy and wrapping shit up. And what the fuck are we going to do for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, it was like, I really appreciate that in this episode. I think this is a fun episode overall because... It's like there's an Indiana Jones style adventure, and I'm a sucker for that shit. I love that like the clues, we can figure them out, and you know there's pointy things.
Yeah, but it's like you've heard my complaints about this show, and it really piled them on here, and I don't know.
It was meant to be.
Were there any clues that it wasn't real?
Other than everyone acting crazy out of character.
I don't feel like the characters are very consistent anyway, so...
That's true, but...
What was out of character for them?
Connor forgiving Angel again and again.
See, that I chalked up to bad writing.
Okay. Cordy all of a sudden being unconflicted about their love.
I feel like that's actually better writing for Cordy.
Right, that's fair. But, yeah,
because she'd be like, yeah, you've done some bad shit, but also, like... I knew that, so why am I conflicted about it? Cordy's never been a, he was a bad person. I have, like, no.
Right. Cordy doesn't give a shit.
I'm a dick, you know?
Yeah.
Got dick. I need some dick. Like, let's do this.
Just the fact that all the answers were that easy. Usually, like, they spread it out a little bit.
No, they don't.
Okay. But
there's been a lot of episodes where 7 minutes before the episode is over, they discover it, there's a fight, and it's over.
Yeah, but not with the big bad. Not with the big bad they've had all season.
They've only had this big bad for like 4 episodes.
Have they?
Yeah.
It seems like forever.
It seems like forever because we can't fucking keep a schedule because we got shit going on.
Okay, August happened to everyone.
Yeah. So, again, guys, like, we're not going to lie. There's some senioritis, and we feel like there's better things we could be doing. But at the same time, we want to finish this, and I want to know what happens.
We're getting through it. Anyway, so, yeah, it was just a rock and roll adventure, and I really don't feel like we need to delve
into it. I don't feel like we need to delve into it either.
Because none of it actually happened.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, you know what did it for me? When Wesley said he was sorry.
That, I don't remember that happening.
Yeah, Wesley said he was sorry, and Angel made this big deal about, you never say you're sorry. And Wesley's like, yeah, well, the demon I brought into here tried to kill you, so I guess I can be sorry this one time.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get, what pissed me off was when he got his hand run through.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly as I was like, come on, guys, you need to treat injuries with a little more...
Respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you this, and you're going to be mad at me.
Okay.
But the reason I knew it was a dream, because suddenly everything had stakes.
Okay.
Both real and pun stakes.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was still really surprised my first go through on this. I was pleasantly surprised.
I was cooking, like, as he was fucking Cordy, I was cooking up some Cordy's now soul sucking vagina. Because we know Buffy has one.
Yeah.
Why did he say her name?
Because the last time he felt this soul steal, his soul exiting his body, he was with her, and also she's still the love of his life, and blah, blah, blah. I was wondering if you were going to comment on that. But yeah, I can think of like a dozen reasons it would happen. It was still stupid.
All right, look, dude. If you're trying to win this woman over, and you've been a dick because she slept with someone else, but you're in love with her. You know what's a bad fucking move? Saying your ex's name during sex. Good fucking God. Even your head, you're a fucking putz.
It's
this is your fucking fantasy, and you fucked it up that hard.
That's, yeah. Yes, he did. And, yeah, then he wakes up in the cage and just kind of starts giggling.
Do you know what was the best part of this
what?
For me?
What?
It turned out they didn't kill the Asian actor. Because, like, people of color do not have a good survival rate here, and it's bugging me. I don't think we've seen an Asian person with a speaking role since fucking, what's her name? Bai Ling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, we did.
Who?
Gavin.
Oh, that's right. It's weird that I forget that Gavin is Asian because, like, that was pretty much his entire characteristics in the first season of Lost is, like, here's a Korean guy who doesn't speak English, and that's all you get.
Aww.
Yeah.
Man, that actor has, like, cheekbones you could cut diamonds on.
Yeah, he's kind of hot with it.
Yeah.
And he's...
Yeah.
There's some really great moments in Lost, and I'm reminded that when Lost came out, like, there was one guy who had a Southern accent, and one woman who had an Australian accent, and there was also a guy who had an Iraqi accent, and a guy who had a Korean accent, which was played by Gavin's actor.
Mm-hmm.
They complained a lot about the first two,
mm-hmm.
the white people's accents, which were real. They did not say a fucking word about the fake accents of the Korean and the Iraqi.
They who? The viewers?
The fans, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is a thing I've seen pop up a lot. Like, there was a video game called Metro Last Light where you're, like, there's a nuclear war and the only people who are left alive that you know about are all in the Russian metro. Like, people who happen to be on the train and they've sort of built a civilization underground.
Cool.
And everyone complains about how bad the accents are. No, those are actual Russians.
Oh,
yeah.
We're so used to fake accents that real accents sound fake.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Guys, we gotta hang out with some foreigners.
Accents are mouth fonts.
That's brilliant, and I hate you. All right. So, anything else we want to talk about?
I don't know. Like, I thought I'd have a lot more to say about these, but given, like, 2/3 of the second episode is just didn't happen.
Yeah.
I knew I should have, because this isn't a very good show, it should have been a red flag that he makes up with his son and gets to bang Cordy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff this show will do.
Yeah. I gotta give it to that demon shaman guy.
Mm-hmm.
He really knew how to push Angel's buttons.
Yeah.
Like, he had it down. It's like, oh, this is gonna be so easy, bro.
I genuinely liked the fight scene with the demon where he killed him, too.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Uh-huh.
That was really good. Like, there's just a lot of fun things in this episode, and then a killer twist at the end, honestly.
And that twist invalidates, and it doesn't make it... Like, there's really nothing worth discussing.
Well, I think it's a good episode because of that. I don't think it's good for us because we're supposed to be breaking this apart and, you know, analyzing parts of it and stuff. But and that nothing happens now for
us. I feel
like
a bit...
No ramifications of any of that.
I feel like a bit like Harry Potter at the beginning of book 5.
Uh-huh.
Because now I have to evaluate. Here are the things I experienced with Mad-Eye that wasn't actually Mad-Eye.
Oh, yeah.
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 And, like, have to talk about something, but that doesn't count because that was actually someone else, you know?
Yeah. And you feel like you know a guy, except that you never met that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Harry.
Yeah.
Poor us.
So, yeah, like, these, on balance, these were good and entertaining. It had some draggy parts and some tropes I'm not fond of, but, like, I really like that they're keeping this arc going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can keep it going till the end of the season. But are you sure, like, what was the number of these episodes?
These are 9 and 10.
Really?
We've still got half the season to go. Yeah.
So now I'm a little concerned that it's going to be a mid-season finale type deal.
I'm just going to tell you that some shit's coming up.
Okay.
And it is some of the most hotly contested shit of the Buffyverse.
I, I am weird about the Buffyverse because I liked season one. I liked Beer Bad. It was a much more effective way of Buffy dealing with her feelings.
Okay.
Like punching a dude who stood you up on a date. That is satisfying for
after
me.
After fucking you.
Like.
Yeah.
Walking down on beach and seeing your ex-boyfriend come back from hell. Not very satisfying.
Yeah, probably not.
So, I give, like, I know a lot of people complain that I'm too bitchy about this kind of stuff, but I like it when it's being, when it's being whimsical with the supernatural, it actually works.
Okay.
When it's being dark and serious, that's when it fucks up.
Okay. Well, it's going to be an interesting ride.
Hey, y'all want to hear bitches laugh? I'm the Hitler who flies.
Fuck you. Why? Why?
I'm going to take that laugh and I'm going to make it the ringtone.
It wasn't even that good a laugh.
All right.
All right, guys.
Yeah, we need to go home. I'm hungry. All I've eaten all day is trail mix, so.
I'm tired.
Yep.
All right.
We love you. Bye.
Love you, bye.
Unspoiled Network Podcast.